Lord, we come to you again at this hour to praise you, to sing praises to you, to glorify your name. Lord, we pray that the songs that we sing would be glorified, or would glorify your name, and that each and everything we do would always be in your name. Lord, we're thankful for your word which you gave to us, that for the guidance it gives us, for the story of where we come from, and the commandments which you have given us to run our lives by, and to know what we need to do to inherit the kingdom which you have promised us, Lord. Lord, please be with each one of us as we're here. Please be with each of our number which aren't here, those who are traveling at this time. We pray that they would have a safe journey back home. We pray that those who are sick at this time, we pray that their health would improve, that they would be able to get back out again. Lord, please be with the country which we live. Please be with those who are in the government, that they would seek your guidance before the decisions that they make. And please let us always be a guiding light for those who we come in contact with, that they would always know that we stand for you and for what you have commanded us to do, Lord. And we would take every opportunity for them to see that and for them to learn from us, Lord. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're reading from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God, our God, shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers.
Number 683, sing and be happy.
If the skies above you are gray, you are being so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in His promises, friend. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust in Him who leads you. He will seek your soul.
Singing number 47, God is so good, 47. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
God is so good. He's so good.
1, verses 11 through 14. In whom also we have obtained the inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Sing number 87 in the red song. Number 87, let's sing verses 1 and 3, omit verse 2.
Peace to my soul, the Lord is on my side. Make patiently the cross of grief for pain. Lead to thy God, to water and provide.
Save on the mountain, I swear. Romans 6, 17 through 22. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, and you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now I present your members as slaves of righteousness for your holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life.
Song number 230, 230. This world is not my home. We sing all three verses of this song. 230.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. Strong time.
175 after this song, Lord's Table will be served. Number 175, we'll sing all three verses.
Time we have the opportunity for those that were not able to partake of the communion this morning to do so. If those that were not here this morning, if you would raise your hand after each prayer and we'll serve you. If you'll bow, let us pray. Dear Lord in heaven, Almighty God, thank you for another wonderful day that you've given us that we can be here. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came upon this earth and sacrificed his life and went through the torture of of going through that so that we can have the opportunity to be with you in heaven someday. We ask that all those that partake of this partake of it in a manner that is pleasing to you. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's continue our thoughts in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come with grateful hearts, Father, for your love for us and the sending of your Son to die on the cross. The blood that he shed that we might have our sins washed away through our faith and obedience to him. Help us, those who partake, Father, to remember that death and help it as a commitment to serve you each and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Number 23. We'll sing the first verse of this song.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
At this time, we have an opportunity to give back to the Lord that part of the Lord, that which the Lord has given to us. Let us pray. Dear Lord in heaven, Almighty God, we thank you so much for all the things that you do for us each and every day, and we thank you for all the many blessings. We ask that those that are given to give in a cheerful heart, we ask that the funds be taken and done within a way that is glorifying to you. We ask this all in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In heavenly armor we enter the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that fashions against us will stand, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory,
Lord, take me, Lord, my God. That will be the invitation song, number 331. I'm going to black this out just for a few minutes. Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to have you here. And to be able to sing once again, for those of you who can sing, I missed my voice. So we've been studying in Scripture the reading that have been read tonight and the songs that we've been singing. The theme for this quarter that we've been looking at is God's plan for salvation, and tonight we've been trying to look at songs in Scripture that is our response to God's plan. And that really is an important question, because when we get to the Bible, there are some who teach that when it comes to God's salvation plan, the plan was He do everything and we can't do anything. And that really is a big divide amongst those who profess to be believers of Jesus Christ. The question really comes down to this: does man have to do anything toward his own salvation? Some phrase it, can man even do anything? There is a very popular doctrine amongst those who profess to be believers that teaches that man is so inherently evil that he cannot do anything, so it is all up to God. Even as far as whether or not we believe, if God is predestined us to salvation, He will even cause us to believe. We can't even look at Scriptures and be convicted by that to the point of belief. But again, the question comes down to, does man have a part in his salvation? And instead of arguing over, well, what might be or what we think so, I think we need to just go back to Scripture like we do everything else. I want to look at just a few verses tonight that I believe that if an honest person looks at them, I don't have to tell you what the answer to that question is. And let's go back and look just a few. Acts chapter 2, the passage which is read earlier. After Peter had delivered the very first gospel message, openly and no longer a mystery, and after he had convicted certain ones of being the very ones who put the Son of God to death, accusing them of nothing less than murdering Him, then those in the audience who were convicted responded by asking, "Men and brethren, what must we do, or what shall we do?" Now, I don't have to tell you, there's the perfect opportunity for Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to simply say, "Nothing. God's done it all." Would have been the perfect time for that. But he didn't tell them that. Instead of telling these people who were convicted by the preaching of God's word that they could do nothing or had to do nothing, Peter instead told them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And we find verse 41 that those who received his word gladly did just that. These people who heard the word and did what God's word said are counted, as Jesus said, among the wise who heard his words and did them. And those on that day, and friends, even today, those today who hear the words of God and refuse to do them are the foolish ones who hear but do not do. Later in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, there is a man we are introduced, or reintroduced, as Saul, who is on his way to Damascus, the beginning of Acts chapter 9. And his purpose was to go throw some of the believers of Jesus Christ into prison. But on the way, he was witness to something far more spectacular than he could have ever imagined. As he journeyed, we read in verse 4, the great light shone all around him, and he heard a voice calling to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul then asked who this voice was, which our Lord replied, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Verse 5, And Saul then asked of our Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Now, in case your translation doesn't have that verse in it, you can run to chapter 22 and verse 6, and he says the same question. The question again is, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Wouldn't that have been the perfect time for Jesus to say, "Saul, you can't do anything because you're so evil. I've done it all." Wouldn't that have been the perfect time for that? But he didn't tell him that. I want you to notice. He was told, "Arise and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." And we know by later what Ananias told him. In Acts 22 and verse 16, he told that very man, "Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins." There was something that Saul had to do. And Jesus himself told him he had something to do. One more passage, Acts chapter 16. In this passage, we find Paul and Silas have been imprisoned because they had caused a man to lose the source of income from a girl servant who was a fortune teller. And while they were in prison, they were singing and praising God, during which there was an earthquake of such magnitude that it opened the doors and broke their chains loose. And the jailer who was in charge of this saw this and knew that if any prisoners were loose, he would be killed. So he was ready to kill himself. But Paul stopped him. And so when the jailer saw this, he asked a question. Do we need to say what that question was? Let's go ahead and read it. Verse 30. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Again, the question of what to do, and especially of what to do to be saved. And I want us to know it wasn't, "Sirs, what must I feel to be saved?" Or, "What must God do for me to be saved?" The question was, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And these men answered. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." And so they preached to him the word of the Lord, verse 32. And therein instructed him in the preaching of the word of the Lord what he had to do. And you notice what he did, verse 33. Took him that very night and baptized him in his household. They didn't wait until the morning. They told him what he had to do in the preaching of the word of God. And they didn't delay in doing that. Now, I believe just from these three short illustrations, if someone were to ask you today, "Must man do anything to be saved?" I think you could answer that question scripturally. We find in each of these cases, when someone asks the question of "What do I do?" not one of them was told nothing. Not one of them was told, "God's done it all." Each one of them was told that they had to do something. I want us to understand that what we're talking about here is a salvation that God certainly is the one who provided. By God's grace, let's not take God's grace out of this. God's grace is what established the plan for our salvation. He didn't have to do anything to offer us a plan of salvation, but he did. That's not even the issue. God's grace certainly saves us. Of that, there is no doubt. But in that giving of his grace by establishing that plan, did he say that we have to do nothing? Again, I think these illustrations that we've read tonight have answered that question. I want us to understand what, though, that means. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in verse 9, we read there that it was through the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was made perfect or complete. Now, what that simply meant was, in the death of Jesus Christ, Jesus did everything that God sent him to this earth to do. But I want us to also notice it said, by that death, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Now I want us to see there the limitations on who Jesus is Savior to. That death on the cross did not save us all just because He died. But by that death on the cross, He became Savior to all who obey Him. In other words, yes, we have to do something. Again. And if that is not convincing enough, let's look at it from the negative side for just a second. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, in writing to those in Thessalonica who are suffering persecution for their faith, are concerned about those who trouble them. But Paul wants to comfort them. He reminds them in verse 6 beginning that God would repay them with affliction, and they could look forward to rest in verse 7. But he went on to say in verses 8 and 9 that God would come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Pay attention here. And on those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if man has to do nothing and can do nothing, why would God exact wrath on any man if they have to do nothing? And here he says very plainly, on those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what we find is, yes, again, same question, same answer. Does man have to do anything to be saved? I think you know the answer to that question now. He gives us the choice of whether to obey or to not obey. He doesn't give us the choice and the consequences of that choice. That's already decided. If we choose to obey, we can be forgiven and we can be saved. If we choose to not obey, then we have chosen to receive the wrath of God for our choice. Now, does this work salvation? Now, some will say yes. But I want us to look back at one more illustration to make the point here. Joshua chapter 6 with the city of Jericho. And I do this because the Hebrew writer points back to this illustration as an example of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But back in Joshua chapter 6, after they had already sent spies into the city of Jericho, the Lord speaks to Joshua in chapter 6 in verse 2. And says this, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Now I'm going to stop right there. And if I was to stop right there, I think we would all have to agree that God said He had already told them the city was theirs. But what if Joshua left there thinking, you know, God's already said the city is ours. And if I start marching around that city and we start blowing trumpets, people might think we defeated the city by our own merits, or they might think that it was our works that brought the walls down, so I'm just going to go back and sit in my tent, lest somebody think that I got Jericho by works. What do you think would have happened if he had done that? Do you think those walls would have fallen down? You think they would have taken the city? Even though God said, "I have given the city to you." Well, of course not. We know that they had to do what the Lord commanded. They had to march around the city once a day, as He said. And on that last day, they had to march around a little bit more. Blow those trumpets, shout. And you know what? The walls fell down and they took the city. Now, do we have to ask how those walls fell down? Are we going to say it's by the harmonic vibrations of their marching that did it? Are we going to all agree that it was by God's power that they did that? But did the people have a part? Absolutely. They believed. In other words, they trusted that what God said, "I will give you, I have given you the city," was true. So that when they did their part, that would be fulfilled. Friends, it's no different with our salvation. God has sent his Son to die for our sins. And he has said, based on that, I've given you salvation in Jesus Christ. And now it's up to you. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you can be forgiven. You can have that salvation. So yes, you have a part. By the grace of God. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet responded to that invitation, we make the plea tonight. If there's somebody here that's already received that invitation, but you've not been living faithfully, you need to make a correction in your life, once again, be walking faithfully with the Lord, please come while you have this opportunity. You just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way. Whatever your need, will you come? Stand and sing.